Chapter 32. Kristoff. When Sahar mentioned the sorcerer's name, a wave of fear coursed through me. Not only had he released mummies from their tombs and unleashed them on the world, but he was also a formidable foe, one that I wasn't all too sure if we could defeat. "How do we go about that?" I questioned the sorceress.
"Good question. He was pretty powerful,"
Erwin added. Her red hair looked like a fire in the bright sun.
"However, we have to," Rachel said firmly. "We need to make sure he doesn't wake up whatever else is in that temple if there really is something else in there."
"There's definitely something else in that temple,"
Jasmina replied. She shook her head back and forth, causing her colorful dreadlocks to dance around her shoulders.
"What can you sense?"
Rachel asked the djinn with a genuine curiosity in her voice. We all turned to look at the vampire. She had clearly disliked Jasmina, but it seemed even the cold Rachel was warming up to the spirit.
"What I mean,"
Rachel continued as she sensed our questioning eyes on her,
"is that if the sorcerer is waking up Kukulkan as we speak, we'd better think about how to defeat the both of them now, as opposed to figuring it out on the fly."
That sobering thought passed through each of us, and I mulled it over in my head. Zillin himself told us that the evil in that temple drawn him in. If Sahar and Jasmina still sense some kind of power, even after the release of the mummies, then maybe the ancient stories were true.
"We have to fight,"
Onyx replied to Rachel's question that still hung over us.
"But how are we supposed to fight that sorcerer and an ancient beast that we know nothing about?"
Rachel reiterated.
"All we have to go on is ancient legends, things older than Rosmarin or me."
"If it helps,"
Sophia chimed in,
"we do have some old books in our library that talk about Kukulkan and other mythical creatures of the region. It's not much, but it may help."
"Every little bit helps, I guess,"
Sahar said. My heart dropped into the pit of my stomach as I fully considered what we were up against. Even with all of our combined skills and my power, it seemed like there was no way we could win. Even if we managed to hold back the undead army, we still had to kill Zillin and whatever thing he was trying to wake up. If only we knew more about Tenochtitlan and Zillin. "What do you think Zillin was doing before he came to the ruins?" I wondered. Rachel shrugged.
"Evil sorcerer things?"
"Well, he said the power of Tenochtitlan drew him there, and he offered you and Rosmarin the chance to rule the world with him. So I would assume he's trying to become all-powerful."
Sahar placed one of her dark hands under her chin and rested her elbow on the table.
"I've encountered many like him,"
Jasmina chimed in. Her voice was dreamy, and her eyes looked like they saw something far off.
"They only want one thing, total control. And now that he knows about you, Lightbearer, he may not stop until he has you."
That was something else I hadn't thought about. As long as Zillin knew I was alive, he might not stop until he had me and my power. And if an already powerful vampire like that got a hold of me, who knows what sorts of madness he might unleash on the world. That thought made me even warier of fighting the sorcerer. If I failed and he was then able to use my power, it could mean the end of life for everyone. But if I stayed in Nahuatl, he really might unleash all his armies on the city. "I can't stay here," I uttered as I looked down at my hands and traced the blue lines of the djinn's mark on my palm. Everyone around the table looked at me. "If Zillin is seeking power, he'll want mine. We already know he does, and he was more than willing to kill me to get it. If he knows I'm here in Nahuatl, then he'll burn this city to get to me." We were all silent as the realization ran through each of us. Even with the gorgeous sun shining down and the happy sounds of nature in the city far below, the world felt like it was closing in on me. I had a target on my back, and no matter where I was, Zilin would most likely be hunting me. The right thing to do is return to Tenochtitlan and face the vampire. I said firmly. I hoped what Sophia had told us was simply a legend. We didn't need to fight a giant snake along with everything else happening.
So we're going back to the ruins, aren't we?
Rachel groaned.
It seems our only option.
Rosmarin replied.
Then it is settled.
Sahara agreed. Erwin and Onyx returned to their rooms to rest before their long journey back to Constanta. They would leave at first light the next morning. While their flight back would be quick, marching our army across the great distance between the northern and southern kingdoms would be difficult, even if they traveled as fast as they could. It was a risk, and there was a great possibility they would find Nahuatl overrun upon their return. But we really had no other options. The rest of us decided to leave for the ruins in the morning as well, so we had the evening to prepare and rest. Rosmarin and I repacked our bags with food and healing supplies given to us by Katala. She offered us some other handy potions that she said would slow the hordes down. While I prayed we wouldn't have to make another mad dash out of the temple, I was grateful for the help. After I packed, I left Rosmarin in our room and walked a few doors down the hall. I knocked on one of the ornate doors, and a moment later, Onyx opened it. She looked confused, but smiled when she saw me standing outside her room. "Do you have a moment?" I asked the Doombringer. She nodded and shifted aside so I could enter. Her room was tidy and organized. Her days in the army had taught her to travel light and to keep everything prepared, so most of her belongings remained tucked away in her bags. Her travel pack sat on a table, all ready for her journey north. "How are you feeling about going back to Constanta?" I asked the gargoyle, not fully knowing what to say to her, or even why I had come to her room.
"I just hope we can all make it back in time,"
Onyx said, worry plain in her tone.
"Just come back to us as quickly as you can."
My voice trembled, betraying what I hadn't even known was there. Onyx looked at me with her black eyes. Usually, she remained stoic, and the only times I ever saw her truly come alive were in battle. Now, though, as she sensed my concern, her brow furrowed under her horns. We stood awkwardly in the middle of her room, but she moved toward me, and her giant figure overshadowed me. Like she had done many times before, especially the previous day as she carried me through the jungle, her powerful presence made me feel safe. I thought about returning to the ruins without the Doombringer at my side, and suddenly, I didn't want her to leave. I reached my hand out and gently grabbed her gray-skinned hand.
"I'm afraid we won't make it out of the ruins without you, Onyx,"
I whispered as I looked up at her.
"You have the others with you. And remember, you are the light bearer,"
she reminded me. I scoffed at my given title. "Yeah, whatever that means." She pulled on my arm so that I fell into her sturdy frame. Her muscled arms wrapped around me and I felt warm and protected.
"You have so much to offer the world, Kristoff. Don't ever forget it."
The gargoyle leaned down and kissed the top of my head. Over the past few months of meeting the council and getting to know each one, I had slowly gotten a sense for each member, each woman's different strengths. But I hadn't realized until now how much I truly relied on Onyx. Even though she usually remained quiet, her presence was always there, like a silent guardian watching over all of us. I may not have realized it until now, but I had come to rely on her. She provided comfort and the knowledge that no matter what we came up against, we would be safe, because we had the Doombringer with us. I swung my arms around her torso and let my head rest on her chest. Silent tears rolled down my face. Part of me felt foolish for being so vulnerable, especially in front of Onyx, but as she held me without judgment, I realized that our relationship had become something more. I had seen glimpses of this softer side of her, the way she looked at Sahar sometimes, or the way she had doted on us all during the celebrations in Constanta, sure. But with this, I came to a new understanding of her. She drew back from me with her clawed hands on my shoulders, and she stared at me, an intense fire burning in her eyes. Then, her lips curled up in a kind smile, and she brought a large hand up to my face to wipe the tears away.
It's okay to be afraid. I think we all are, but we have each other, and that is all that matters.
She comforted me. I reached up and drew my hand along the scar on her gray jaw, and it struck me to realize just how beautiful she truly was. All of her strength and power oftentimes overshadowed her other features, but as we stood in her room holding on to each other, I felt my affections pour out of me, warming me and causing my skin to glow with a soft light. As one, she leaned down and I pushed up until our lips clashed. I pushed into the kiss and let the familiar electricity shoot through my body until a knock on the door startled us out of the embrace. I quickly wiped the rest of my tears away and chuckled as Onyx opened the door. Lynx stood in the hallway.
Your Majesty, there is someone at the northern wall. They say they know you and have something for you.
I looked at Onyx, and she shrugged.
Shall we go see who it is?
It's okay. You should get some rest. I grabbed her hand and squeezed it as I walked past her out the door.
Good night,
Kristoff. She closed the door behind me.